Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha Podcast. I'm your host, Tukes. So today we have the pleasure of sitting with Ben and Navi of B2R. Huge thanks to you guys for making this happen. Thank you guys for that.
Appreciate it.
So I actually saw your guys on Javier's channel, TRC, maybe a few years ago when he came out here.
Yeah.
He came to the shop. You guys took him in a couple of the cars and so on. So since then, I've always had you guys like as the street cars of Australia. So it's kind of cool to see these cars in person now and kind of see what you guys do. There's a lot to talk about in terms of what you guys are doing with the billet blocks, which I actually learned from you guys first. You guys are the first shop I actually stopped by, so that was pretty cool. And we talked a little bit about things that the US isn't doing yet. So you guys are far ahead of the US in the RB platform. But before we start, let's give a round of applause for Ben and Navi of B2R.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
I just want to say I love the way that you guys build your cars. And honestly, the impression that I'm always going to have of Australia is going to be this shop. Of course, there's other shops. Croydon can't disrespect anybody else. But the ones that seem, I guess, attainable for me, because I'm never going to build like a crazy drag car, is stuff that you guys do.
Yeah.
I know you guys worked on Moody's car, right?
Yeah.
You guys.
So the engine in his car is actually out of one of our other street cars, and they got talking and one of our customers wanted a bigger engine, and he goes, "Hey, I'm going to sell my engine to a guy in America." We're like, "Sweet, sell it."
I had no idea. So I didn't even know. Nobody even said anything in the States about it.
Yeah. I think he's got the highest horsepower in America with that engine.
So I want to know how you guys got into this. Like, where did it start? Was it a family thing? Did you guys have, you know, parents that worked on cars? Like, where did all this start?
So I started my apprenticeship. Basically, once we finished the apprenticeship, went out on my own. My dad had a shop. He does electrical motors and that, and put a hoist in there and just started doing servicing, maintenance work and all that. I think that was probably in 2014 or 15.
Okay.
And then, yeah, one of our good mates, Alex, bought a GDR. Didn't know what we were doing. Well, I didn't know what I was doing because I was on my own. So slowly, but we were always into the 180s and, you know, doing bits and pieces on them, like SR20s stuff and whatnot. And so he bought a GDR and opened the bonnet on it. I was like, all right, what do we do? So, you know, started doing a bit of research and single turbo conversion, doing head packages, worked out our own head package for it, little upgrades. And then back then we were using Unigroup Yavuz for tuning.
Okay.
And so we basically built the car, still stock bottom end, made just over 500 kilowatt.
Wow.
And yeah, started driving it on the street. It was pretty cool. Went out to the drags. I think it went 990.
Okay.
And we just looked at each other like, oh, this is pretty cool. 9-second GDR, stock bottom end.
That was a stock bottom end record at one point?
Yeah, that was a stock bottom end record.
What year was this though?
Probably 2016, around there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A while back.
And then one of our other mates bought a GDR and he goes, I want the same thing. So obviously after doing the first one, the second one was a bit easier.
Yeah.
And then after that, just snowball like one after the other, you know, doing maintenance repairs and whatnot. And then we ended up coming into this shop. So, and then
that same year or like
This is over like a year. We weren't in another shop for long. It was a very small shop. Yeah. We only had one hoist in there. So yeah, I was working around the clock as well, doing a lot of long hours. Obviously learning too at the same time.
Right.
You know, didn't have all the tools either, whatnot, you know, because it's obviously you're just starting off, you need money, you need, you know, you build yourself up. And then, yeah, I think around 2017 or 18, came into here, bought another two hoists, started working. And then that's when, you know, Ben came along for an interview. And then first day on his interview.
Wait, so how did the interview go? I want to hear this. Like, what was the interview like? What kind of questions were you asking him? Like, how does that work?
So, to give you a lead up on my background up until that point, I was like, people think I'm a lot older than I am. I actually was always into cars since I was a little kid. My sister had a BMW 5 Series and I might have been 9 or 10 years old and my brother would have been 12. And we're like, how do we make this car cool? So we put a sound system in it, we put a sub, whatever. Then my brother got his license. He bought a Subaru Liberty.
Okay.
And we started mucking around with that. And then I started taking time off school and going and working laboring because I wanted to buy a car. So before I actually turned 16 and 9 months, I think it was the legal age at the time to get your license in Australia.
Okay.
I had already bought a car, crashed a car, blew the engine and rebuilt it because I just wanted to learn. And then I was like, all right, this is what I'm doing. This is what I like, you know?
Right.
So I done my apprenticeship, went to TAFE, you know, had a few cars in between. I had a 300ZX. Had a TX3 Turbo, had a Commodore, had a few cars in between. And two of my dream cars were always R34 GDR and S14 Silvia. Mm-hmm. They were like icon cars for me. I had the opportunity to buy an S14 pretty cheap. The guy thought he had a bottom end knock. I was on my P's and I bought that thing. I was working at a regular shop, changing tires, doing services. And,
yeah.
You know, never ever got into the performance thing until I liked doing it on my own cars. And yeah, I used to tell my boss, hey, can I borrow the shop this weekend? I'll give you $50. I want to work on my car. And he used to come in and go, what's wrong with you? I was like, you know, you're doing all these stuff to these old cars. And man, I just loved it. So job opportunity came up. I remember the photo was a Bayside Blue R34 GDR on Gumtree. Ooh. And they're like, we're looking for a worker. I'm like, all right, I'll come in. Came in. I think on the phone I spoke to Avi, which he comes across very nice, you know. So I'm like, well, this is going to be a real nice place to work.
Uh-huh.
First day I came in, I met Navi, not knowing that they're brothers or two different people.
Right.
And I remember I just told Navi, I go, hey man, I'm here for the job interview. And he goes, I don't want someone who's here to fuck around. He goes, be here.
Wait, you said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, look, I was on my own. It was stressful,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. When I started, it was very stressful.
I went through a couple of apprentices and, you know, just, it was hard. It was very hard. Yeah. It was very, very hard.
So I was on the phone to Av, I'm like, and he goes, come in for an interview. I'm like, oh, what do you want me to wear? Like, you know, you want me to wear work stuff to work? Or he goes, no, just come casual. We'll just have like a 15-minute chat and you can go. So I got here. He told me I don't want someone that fucks around. 8 o'clock, be here, do your work, you know, be responsible, don't be rude, and, you know, just get shit done. I'm like, sweet. He goes, so what can you do? I'm like, what do you want me to do? There was an Evo 8 MR on the back hoist. And he goes, that car's here for a timing belt. Cam setup,
water pump.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was head studs or not, and a clutch. And I'm like, done. I go, when do you want it done? He goes, do it. So I done all that my first day on a random Saturday here, not even in like work equipment. I didn't have any tools on me. I didn't know where anything is. I just made it work. So yeah, finished that all that day, done the timing belt, water pump, clutch, everything. And then I think he was like, all right, this guy's not here to fuck around. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of when I started. And like he said, we had Yvuz tuning and we had a few guys that we used to use for wiring and whatnot. So when you're starting, there's only so much you know.
Right, right.
And yeah, me and him were always keen to learn. So we would build the cars and stay back till midnight, you know.
Yeah, there was no such thing as 8 to 5.
Yeah.
It was like 8 to midnight, 8 to 2 a.m.
Yeah, it was.
Stressing, learning.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously we were both just mechanically minded. We didn't know nothing about wiring, tuning, software kind of stuff. So, you know, over the years we learned that as well. And then, you know, obviously we're using other people for wiring at that time as well.
Okay.
And especially with wiring, you know, people used to come in, do the job, get paid, stuff wouldn't work, oh, I can't come back. You know, that's when Ben thought, you know what, I have to do this. I have to learn myself.
I remember the car, it was a Supra that we had built. It was a 1400 horsepower Supra. I love this thing. And it just, the tune, I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it on the dyno. The wiring guy's like, it's not my problem. You know, it was working when I left. And I just told Navi, like, you know, I go, you go home. I'm not going home until I figure out this car. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue. And I got out my test light. I got out a multimeter and I just started testing stuff and buzzing stuff. I don't even know how I figured it out, but I ended up figuring out the problem. And I could not wait. I didn't message him or anything. And I came here the next day, like 20 minutes early, just waiting for him to rock up through the door. And as soon as he walked in, I go start the car on the dyno. And he goes, what? I go, go start it. And he started it and the problem was gone. And I was just like, ever since then, I was hooked with wiring, wanting to learn, wanting to, you know, do more, learn more.
And that's what you do now? Like, so you basically probably do multiple things, but...
Yeah, so me and Navi build the engines, depending who's free at
who's
the time.
Got time.
Yeah, so, you know, he's built a lot of the engines. I've built a lot of the engines.
Sometimes we do them even together, just to get them
sometimes
we bigger.
Do them together. Sometimes we've got three in a row and he's doing the crank on one and I'm doing the rods on the other and there's a head going on the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so me and him do the engines solely in this shop. I would say most of the wiring. Mm-hmm. We've got Adrian, Chris and Momo now, which I try to get into it because I just feel like the way I see it, especially now that I'm doing tuning as well, is if I can understand the mechanical side of it,
right,
I can understand the electrical side of it, and I can understand the tuning side of it, it's very easy for me to diagnose a problem.
Right.
Whereas
right.
before, I'd be like, all right, there's this problem, and I didn't know how to go about it. Whereas now I can like look at a log and go, okay, this is doing this, which means mechanically it's doing this, or electronically it's doing this. So I try to teach those boys as well. I still do most of it, but yeah, I'm trying to get them onto that.
Which they're at a point now where they can figure out issues where he's not needed or I'm not needed either.
Yeah.
Mechanically and electrically as well. So, which is pretty good.
Yeah. So like at the end of the day, there's no point being selfish. Like you give your knowledge to the next generation and you help build everyone else up. But yeah, me and Av do the tuning. Sometimes we tune cars together. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like we all just work as a team. Sometimes Navi needs a hand and those boys will be helping him. Sometimes I need a hand. Sometimes they need a hand. We all just kind of make it work.
You come together to make everything work.
Yeah, right. Like everyone's got a main thing that they do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I can't rely on these boys to run me some wires from the front to the back or, you know, to terminate some stuff for me until I can get around to it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
So how much stuff is done in-house? Like, are you guys subbing out some certain things? Like, obviously, you have to send out your stuff to a machine shop to get done, bring it back. Let's say if a customer wants to, you know, have their car checked out, or if they have from, if they're coming from a different shop, do you guys just say, you know what, we're going to put our stuff on it, or like, how
not,
does that work?
Not necessarily. Like if someone wants to go fast, like, I mean fast, like 1500 plus horsepower.
Okay.
I can work with your setup. I'm not the kind of person to say, hey, take it all off, chuck it in the bin. I can work with your setup, but you got to understand that I can't tell you, hey, your engine's good for this. I don't know how your internals were built. I don't know how your stuff's been set up. But yeah, clean slate stuff. Obviously, someone tells me they want 2,000 horsepower. Say, I'll give you a 2,000 horsepower car that you can drive all day. In terms of what we outsource, I would say the two only things we outsource is machining and fab work.
Yeah.
But even the fab stuff that we send it to, they're like guys that we trust and we work with closely.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, the roll cages, we get our fab guy to 3D scan the cars and make them as tight as possible. So it's not like we're just sending them to random shops and being like, hey, I need a cage finisher.
There's only one guy that we use for fabrication.
Yeah.
Every car is different though when it comes to 3D scanning?
32, 3, 4, like all the shapes are different, obviously. If someone wants an S15 done, that's different. Like once we've got the CAD file, it's pretty good then. Right. Then we got all the bends and stuff.
And by the way, that's Dylan from Inertia.
Yeah, Dylan from Inertia Fab.
He's a you won't find anyone better.
Yeah, he's a gun.
Dylan, I need a free cage, thanks.
And I guess like alignments and stuff like that. We use DNA, they're the best in the game. But in terms of like actual hardware, mechanical, electrical stuff done on cars, it's all done here.
Everything's done here. Because at the end of the day, if we do the job, it's our problem.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, I know most other shops, you know, they'll have a different tuner, different wiring guy, different fabricator, you know, and then when the car comes back to the shop,
it's a blame.
Oh, he tuned it, go see him. Oh, he wired it, go see him.
Hey, my car doesn't start. Oh, it's your idle air control motor, go see your wiring guy. Oh, no, the idle air control motor works, go see your tuner.
And we've seen it. We've seen it before.
That. Your cams are out of phase, go see your engine.
That's why if we're at the track and we're racing, whatever happens to the car is our issue. We have to fix it.
Right.
And you would have seen that like at the last track day. Like I had my whole toolbox.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From wiring to mechanical to whatever the car's needed. Either I was on it, Chris was on it, Nav was on it, Adrian's on it, or Momo's on it.
Like, you guys were active.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So is the goal in the long run to do more things in-house and have a build fully done here in terms of like...
You eventually, know, yes. Machines? For us right now at this point in time, is a space in the workshop.
Okay.
You know, we are looking to purchasing a bigger workshop, have a more hoist, more room, you know, all that kind of stuff, making our own parts, etc. But over time, you know.
Over time.
So. Yeah.
So you guys have been doing this for how many years now? What is it like?
Probably, I think this is our 10th year.
10th year. Okay.
Yeah, because you've been about 9 years, Ben.
Yeah, I think it's 11th year. I've been here
about probably 11. Yeah.
So 11, 10 years. A decade, basically, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a ton to learn with the platform, I'm sure, in that time.
Yeah.
So, you guys aren't running 26s, I see. You guys are running all higher displacement things, right? So, if you're building a 26, is that something that, you know, you recommend, like, for people in the States? Because we're kind of behind, of course.
Look,
but
it depends on your goals. Like, we've got customers running around in 1,200 horsepower, 2.8s. We've got 1,100 horsepower, 2.6s, and they're mad.
It depends what your goal is. You know, if someone's asking 1,400, 1,500 horsepower, we just move them straight to the billet block.
Yeah.
We've done all the R&D, especially with Street Fighter, Josh Curie's old car.
Okay.
You know, what do we use to do that? Like 80, 81.
Yeah, that car on a castle block, we were making 1,700 horsepower. And it went 812 at 176 mile an hour, which held the manual record for about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
From memory.
And that's especially with that car as well. We learned a lot with cast blocks,
yeah,
and whatnot. And we're always scared of using, you know, moving on to billet blocks back then.
You're right.
You know, because we used to hear, oh, they overheat. People are driving, driving on the street. The car's overheating, whatnot. So we're a bit. So you know, we kind of laid off from the billet blocks.
Yeah.
We did wait probably I think a couple of years after that. You know, we.
I remember I was hassling Nav. I'm like, man, we got to get into these billet things. I go, put one in your car. If it works, mad. If it doesn't work, then you've learned.
Why did you say that you had to get into them? Like, what was it? What was it?
Because we were at the point where we're like, how much can a cast block take? Mm. How much can I send someone down the strip with a cast block and have a, you know, healthy conscience that, hey, it's not going to push a Welsh plug out or, you know, crack the block or something like that?
To be honest, over time, you know, every block's different cast block. So, you know, they'll start cracking on the deck of the block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sleeves would move. You know, they'll crack on the, you know, external side of the block.
Right.
You know, so we did start seeing issues like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, you know, engine out. All right, we need to do another block. Put it in, you know, we go again for another year or so,
right,
with good racing. But then, you know, then it was at that point, you know, we need to start getting to these billet blocks, and that's when, you know, they released them, and you know, we started hearing people overheating, and they're like, you know what, let's just stay with the cast block.
Yeah, I've heard,
you know,
that
around that 1200 horsepower. But you know, and then we actually, that's when Romanos came along, and and he's 34. And
that was cast block too, 1500 horsepower.
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah. Yeah, he had a cast block.
1500 horsepower. We're done. At Royal Racing.
And then that was in the 32. And then he wanted to build his 34. Yeah, so we.
32.
Yeah, and then we built his 34 for him, cast.
Yeah.
And he only wanted a street car. I think it made 1100, 1200 horsepower.
Yeah, the 32
made. He went out. Yeah, and then went out to Royal Racing. I think he won the first night. And. Or he got up there and he was very competitive. We didn't know how competitive he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never wanted to be competitive. And then after that, he's like, nah, you know what? Fuck this. Let's go all out. So let's get a billet block, you know. And obviously Romanos, you know, he understands, you know, all the R&D that's going to go into. Mm-hmm. We've never done one. So we just sat him down, you know. We're going to, over time, like, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
We didn't promise him anything. But he understood, you know, what the go is, how we're going to do it, you know. And it is going to take a lot of time.
Right.
It is going to take a lot of money. And, you know, by the end of the day, it's going to work out for him. It's going to work out for us. And look where we are now, especially with RHM, in saying that we had, so we done RHM billet first, and we done strapped as well, Bill's car. He had a 32.
Which is fast.
Yeah. Actually,
that was the original strap.
The original strap was a 32 GDR. So they're the two first cars we done billet blocks in. And Bill was pretty quick too. I think he was making 1100.
Won a few events.
Yeah, won a few events and making 1100-1200 horsepower through the auto. Oh. And Romano's been sequential. He always loved his manuals.
Yeah.
And then from there, we just went bigger and bigger. And you know, and to be honest, the first block that we had in RHM, that was the first billet block we done, was a 3.4.
Okay.
And had a 86-85 Gen 2.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, that thing went for ages. And then we changed it to an 80-85, and then we went Pro Mod. And now we just recently, last year, we took that out
to put
that into his new car, which is outside right now.
Right, right.
And we put, you know, this engine's got alloy rods and all that. So now we're starting to move on to alloy rods. This is actually first engine that we're doing alloy rods. We're
kind of doing the same thing again, where everyone was saying, hey, you can't run a billet block because they're overheating. And we're like, all right, well, let's prove it wrong. And we did.
Let's overheat it.
Now what we're doing.
Huh? I said, let's overheat it, but never overheat it.
And now we're kind of doing the same thing with alloy rods, because we've had this alloy rod engine in the car probably for what? 7-8 months?
Yeah, 7-8 months.
Roll racing. It's
been to every roll racing.
Drag racing, street driving. Everyone said, man, 20 hits, you're going to be changing your rods. You're going to shoot it out the block. I'm like, all right, let's find out. You know?
Let's say you want to just take the car out every day, go to the gym, supermarket, whatever. Like, will it be fine?
My personal opinion is you can make 2,000 horsepower on a steel rod, no problem. So I would not recommend an alloy rod to someone that wants to make 2,000 horsepower, because we've proven that they can make 2,000 horsepower and be reliable. Like all our cars, you know, you've seen racing over the weekend, no problem. Now, the reason we've done it in Romanos' car is we eventually want to put a bigger turbo on that car and push it even harder. But we're like, before we do that, we know the rest of our setup's perfect.
Yeah.
Let's just change the one variable of the alloy rod and see if we go forward or backwards. Now, everyone said 20 passes and you're going to have rods hanging out the side of the engine. We're a lot further than that. And, You know, he gives it hits on the street. He drives it on the street. He gives it hits at roll racing. He takes it drag racing. He does everything. He does photo shoots. He had done a music video like a few weeks ago at the drag strip. They drove it there, drove it back. Like it drives. It's not a...
And that's a sequential manual car as well.
Yeah.
And then moving on to autos as well, we had Bill in Strapped as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bill at Block, he drove everywhere as well. Yeah. He's been all around Sydney, probably in every street in Sydney. He's driven through. So they're very reliable. Do they overheat? No, they don't overheat. They're only going to overheat if there's an issue with the engine, right?
Okay.
You know, like you can pick all these cars that are in this workshop right now, probably 90% of them are Bill at Blocks.
Mm-hmm.
You can start any car up right now and take it for a drive. You can go to the city, you can go wherever you want. Well, they're not going to overheat.
The first night we finished B2R34, which you see in the blue car with the stripes down the side.
Yeah, yeah.
I told him, hey, bro, car's ready for pickup. You know, come pick it up. Let's go for a bit of a drive around the area and see how you like it. He put his kids in the back seat and drove all the way to Wollongong and back.
So where is this at?
Wollongong, which is like 45 minutes each way.
Okay.
Up and down mountains, around twisties and stuff like that. He was giving it a beating. He'll tell you himself, some of the videos I've seen from the night he picked it up, he was giving it a beating.
So why do you guys go with 3.4 as opposed to like just a 3.2? Like why 3.4, 3.6? Have you guys tried 3.2s or?
We've run 3.2s. The 3.2s like to rev more, but the 3.4s are just bulk power. Like, you know, if you, in all honesty, I feel like if you want to, you know, have a high revving engine and get big mile an hour, a 3.2 is probably better. But the 3.4 just feels gangster. Like you put your foot down in a 3.4 or even a 3.6 and they just feel like there's bulk power hitting you. You know, even
so you just feel the torque out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Most of our cars are street / roll racing,
mm-hmm.
right? People want to go roll racing. They want to spend their money. They want to enjoy their car.
Right.
You know, we're not going to drag racing every month or whatnot. So, you know, obviously over the years working out, you know, what combos are good for roll racing too, you need something that's very responsive.
Yeah.
You know, that's when our 3.6s, 3.4s help with slightly smaller turbo. Because we're only racing, around 280 meters.
Okay.
You know, so we've got to make sure that we're on it, you know, and that's where our 3.4s and 6s are pretty responsive, especially being a manual. Automatic, no problem. Spray with gas, you know, there's a few ways, right converter, dump valves, all that kind of bullshit.
Right.
You know, you press a button, you just drive, you know, but being in a manual, it is a bit harder, but that's where, you know, our combos we've worked out, 3.6 is good with a certain turbo,
right.
You know, 3.4.
And also they're unbreakable.
What's unbreakable?
The 3.4s and the 3.6s, they're unbreakable.
All right, hold on. There's no way it could be unbreakable.
He doesn't believe us.
They're unbreakable. You could not break, like, don't get me wrong, you can break stuff around the engine, you can break a diff, you can break a turbo side, you can break shit around the engine,
mm-hmm.
you are not breaking the engine. Simple as that.
If you've got the right...
You're not hurting the engine, you're not breaking the engine. Simple as that. Like, you've got to do a lot of things wrong to hurt one of them.
Hmm. Interesting.
We've put them through hell and back.
Cast heads, though, right?
Cast heads. They're kind of the one thing that's limiting us now. So, obviously, we could make more power. We could, mm-hmm. you know, port the heads and we could put bigger turbos.
Right.
But then, if we had a customer that said, hey, I want to go drag racing and I want records, yeah, no worries. We'll do it. You know, get a couple heads ready and let's go race and we'll change them at the track if we have to.
Right.
And we'll get the PBs. But like Navi's saying, most of our guys just want to do rounds and rounds and rounds. So that's kind of why we've stopped where we've stopped at that 2,000 horsepower mark.
Right.
That's kind of where we feel the limit is on a stock cast head. But I'm really excited for all these new billet heads coming out because we're going to send them.
So you guys are going to be utilizing those?
We will be, yeah. Yeah. Like we'll probably try it on one of our own cars.
Yeah.
Okay. Even my car, Romanus's, or maybe Bill Strapped.
Yeah.
You know,
even
PRP's just so we can
coming
test
out
them.
With a cast head. You know,
yeah.
We'll maybe chuck that on Navi's car.
I think
and
on the engine... Probably the weakest point could be the head. That, you know, we did try porting a couple of heads,
mm-hmm.
and we did crack exhaust port. I think one cracked exhaust port, one cracked on the inlet port.
Yeah.
After that, we tried two heads on that, and yeah, we never went back to ported heads or anything like that. So factory ports, factory heads, just, you know, the basic one-way oversized valves and whatnot.
So
and very reliable.
The machining process for the billet is how important is that?
Very important.
Very important.
Just as important as, I mean, it's important overall, but as opposed to like a cast.
More important.
Okay. Mm. Why?
A billet's more important because a billet block expands with heat. A cast block, you set your measurements. They might move a few tenths of a thou.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter.
Right.
A billet block, depending on the temperature you're running it at, moves a lot.
Mm. Even assembling them on the temperature you're assembling them at,
yeah,
is going to give you one measurement.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come back the next day, and if it's a bit warmer, you're going to have a different measurement. Right, so, you know, then, all those kind of factors.
And there's one temperature when you're racing, which is obviously what you're aiming to have the right clearance at.
Mm-hmm.
But like I told you, a lot of our cars drive on the street. So
when
you're sitting at the highway at 3,000, 4,000 RPM driving to an event, you might get to the event and have 110, 115 degree oil temp, which is hot. That is very hot. And the block's expanded. And, you know, that's when the dry sump comes in. You've got to have the oil pressure there. This is what people don't really take into account. They go, I've got the best of the best parts. I've got a billet block. I got this. I got that. You know, but they don't check the basics. What's my oil pressure? What's my oil temp? What's it doing when it gets hot? What's it doing when it gets cold? And that's what keeps them alive.
So you guys are all running on all these cars, obviously a dry sump.
Yep.
Right. And that's like a requirement.
They have to run it. They have to.
On a billet block, you can't actually fit an internal pickup. So you've got two options. You either go external pickup or you go dry sump. And you're spending that much money, man. You got to go dry sump.
Sorry. So if I wanted to come here and build a car, right, what would it cost me? Now, obviously, aside from the chassis or the body of the car, right?
Yeah.
What does it cost?
A car like mine or Mr. 33 or even like Strapped, you know, they're all similar builds. You're probably looking in AED roughly about 280 grand.
280?
280. But that's
God damn.
280 to 300. Yeah. It could be more, like if you're going to cage and stuff, but that's, I'm talking, it's, you're not just getting an engine. You're getting an engine, you're getting gearbox.
Oh, right.
You're getting,
That's including PDMs, wiring,
shafts.
ECUs, that's the full, okay.
Drive shaft, front diff, rear diff, Albin's gearbox or auto if you wanted an Al's box, turbo side, inlet side, injectors, fuel. That's front.
The only thing you're doing is you sort your own paint.
Yeah.
If you want a cage or not, and pick your own wheels. That's the only thing you're doing. Rest, we are doing front to back, top to bottom.
Suspension, everything.
Damn.
Yeah. But it needs it because a lot of people used to spend a lot of money on the engine and gearbox, but then not on shafts, not on the diff. And then you go out and you'd break it. And then
we done that too at one point.
We've done that.
That's how we learned the weaknesses.
Right.
So now we know, hey, yeah, you want to make 2,000 horsepower? No worries. But you want to put your kids in it because you don't want that shaft to snap and, you know, flip the car.
Right.
So, you know, we've kind of got to take responsibility for our customers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I want is to hear someone's crashed or someone's had an accident.
Yeah.
So we take that shit seriously. Like, if you don't want to do that stuff, we're not turning your car up. Simple.
Do you guys require cages too? Like, is that something that's part of like what you guys do? Because you can't, I mean, you have 2,000 horsepower car.
Yeah, we recommend
every car.
Yeah.
Okay. Put a cage in it.
Some people do, some people don't. I recommend it to anything over like, really anything over 1200, but yeah, like it's up to the customer at the end of the day. That's one of the things that, you know, some people think they're ruining the car, some people think they're ruining the interior, where I think, man, you just got to be safe. You know, you're putting people in this car, you're taking people's lives over. It's not worth it.
So 2000 horsepower, are you guys using that at the track? Like, you guys are running these cars at 2000 or
roll racing at COTS? We're starting to get up there. Like, we're starting to put
in the higher gears.
Yeah, in the higher gears. Definitely not low gears.
Yeah.
At roll racing on the other, like Sydney roll racing, not COTS, probably around, we're probably sitting around 1600. And then when we start to go a bit more, we start to go backwards because everyone's, you know, sliding around and backing off and on.
The throttle and it unsettles the car, and then you get back on it and you're sliding the other way.
So. Unless you put someone loose like Bill or Talao or Romanos in there, they just flat stick. You look, they're sliding all over the track. You come back, TPS is 100%.
So what is this car making? Because when I went for that ride, it was pretty intense.
This car makes 1800 on full boost and you're on medium boost.
So what's medium?
I'd say 1600.
Nah, bro.
Yeah.
have you been passenger in any cars?
I've driven all the cars.
No, not driven, passenger.
Passenger is very scary.
Isn't it scary?
It's very scary.
It's way different.
I only go passenger with people I trust. So
who do you trust?
Romanos, Talao, Strapped, Bill, Waza, Nav.
Like, not me. You don't trust me.
Marlon, bro. I got in his car, bro. What you mean?
Marlon's a gun.
If you knew Marlon from back in the days, he used to, he was... from gutter to gutter, just sliding.
Josh, Street Fighter. Like, we've got good drivers.
I'm telling you, I lost my breath for like a quick second.
Yeah.
And shout out to my boy Sam over here for making that happen. He was desperate to get me in a car.
Yeah.
And I got lucky because after that, I think they stopped.
Yeah, they went eliminations. Yeah.
So appreciate you, my boy.
And they always feel slower on the track. Like, you drive that thing on the street and you're just closing your eyes and saying,
wait, what do you mean you feel slower on the track?
Like,
No, that shit was out, bro.
Yeah, but
what are you talking about?
No, what he means is like on the street, there's like cars flying past you, trees, poles, and all that, you know?
Yeah,
so
but
it's actually
really,
10 times scarier on the street.
It's probably scarier, but the feeling, you're probably looking more on the track.
But you can't feel, on the track, you feel that full G-force and, you know, you stop breathing basically in the car.
That's what I felt.
I'm opposite. Like I could drive a 2,000 horsepower car on the track and go, that was mad. All right. I'll drive a 1,000 horsepower car on the street. I'll be like, holy shit, this thing's going to kill me.
So you have your 34, right?
Yeah.
Which is cool carbon fiber front here. And this is basically, is it the shop car technically? Or is it just your car?
It's just my car. Yeah.
So what package does this have? What do
so
you?
So this has got a 3.4 Cali's bottom end. We did have a 83, 85 on it at one stage. And then, which was good, it was quick. But, you know, it wasn't fast enough for our racing. So we did put a pro mod on it now, 8803 next gen. Has a sequential air shifted gearbox with all the, you know, technology that Ben likes to play around with.
Is this all new technology? Or?
Yeah.
I'm a nerd. I'm always trying new shit. And I always tell my ideas to people and they're like, what do you want about? And I go, Nav, you have to do this. He's like, all right, order it.
So it's all air shifted. Like Albin's just came out with the air shift gearbox. But now we got on the paddles and, you know, it's pretty cool the way it's set up.
Shout out to Albans. I've been pestering them for a while to give us an air shift kit and they did and it's awesome. And even the customer service you get from them, man, like I was at the track. I'm like, hey, man, I think I might need this. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm having an issue. I'm not sure if it's the problem and it ended up not being. But he goes, man, I'll jump on a plane right now. I'll drop them off to you. And he flew in, dropped off the parts.
He flew in.
One dropped off of everything I needed and... Yeah, you don't get that from many people. You know, like we do the right thing by our suppliers and they do the right thing by us. Same thing with Andre at DNA.
Yeah.
You know, I called him up Sunday morning. I'm like, hey, one of these cars I feel like needs to be lifted a bit. And he goes, well, I'm just at the Blue Mountains with my family, which is far.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, all good. Don't worry about it. He goes, when are you getting to the track? And I told him, he goes, I'll meet you there. So, yeah.
So
have you tried other transmissions? Like why Albans? Yeah.
We've tried them all.
We've tried.
This is where you feel
it's no names, but multiple other transmissions.
Yeah.
And out of all of them, Albans is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to make power in a manual,
reliable,
you will break everything on your way to an Albans, and then you won't break it anymore.
It's pricey though, man.
It is. Pay once, cry once. At the end of the day, if you put something else in it, or you know. You don't want to spend the money and you go to the track and you break something, the first thing you're going to say is, fuck, I should have put that in there.
Yeah.
You know, I should have just spend that kind of money, should have just 100%. Done what the boy said or, you know, what everyone else is saying to do.
Look, don't get me wrong. People try it and you can get away with it at lower power. You can run different gearboxes and we have no issue with that. You know, it's all, you know, there's other gearboxes that I like as well, like the Samsonas 5-speed. I really like the ratio on. So everyone's got their different preference and shifter feel and stuff like that.
Right.
But if you want to talk about a gearbox you are not going to break, it's the Albans.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Not good for my pockets though.
Yeah. Definitely.
So what does your car make?
My car makes around 2,000 horsepower.
2,000
horsepower. Yeah. 2,000 horsepower.
2024
to be exact. Yep.
2024.
Now, we did take that out. Obviously last week you've seen it go, it's just all over the place.
Yeah.
So we do need to work on suspension, wheels, stuff like that. But, you know, next couple of months when we go back there and, you know, try different things, we'll get it down right to get it down pat. So
at GTR Festival, this car was on a dyno, no?
Yeah.
It was on the dyno.
So can you talk about the experience of the dyno? Because we have you had Batuks there. Yeah. You were kind of doing a little heads up thing there. So I wasn't there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wanted to record, but I didn't even hear it was happening.
Yeah.
But
so we had one of the guys from Motive come up to us and say, hey, you guys want to put the car on dyno? It's the last car.
Frosty.
Yeah. Oh, so I didn't know his name. But he come up and he goes, you know, hey, he's the last car. If he's want to put a car on, you know, there's a bit of a prize money. So I thought, oh, you know what?
Oh, there was prize money.
Yeah, there's prize money for it.
Yeah.
How much money are we talking?
I think it was $1,500.
It wasn't much.
$2,000.
It was more so.
I'd take $1,500.
Not much, this guy. I'll take it all day, every day. Unfortunately, couldn't get it. But
it was more so he was like, look, you know, we haven't had many big cars on the dyno today. We've had a massive turnout. A lot of guys want to see cars.
So we asked him, like, what's the highest horsepower car that's been on the dyno? And he goes, I think 1670. I'm like, oh, no worries. We'll shit that out. Let's go. So, you know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
We put it on the dyno. We did. We weren't hitting the boost that we had it when we were actually tuning it here.
Yeah.
Also, we did have a couple of trigger errors as well. Mm-hmm. It did end up, we just pushed through it. So it did end up making 1,880 horsepower. And we're like, oh, sweet, you know, it's all good. Give us the money.
Yeah.
And then who do you see? Fucking Anthony Matuk. I'm like, here we go. Rocks up. He goes, my car's going on next. I'm like, oh, shit. So what does he bring? Brings his meffed up drag car, puts it on there. You know, we took our car off. You know, we're sitting at the pits, and you know, they had on the dyno. They come and they're making boost, and then I think they were having trigger issues as well, or something was going on with the car. And you know, I think they're on there for like half an hour.
Yeah,
good half an hour on there.
We heard the pull that they made. It made some power.
Yeah,
I think it made 2,200.
2,200. Yeah,
which is gangster.
And then they said 2,200. I was like, ah, oh, shit. Yeah. There goes my money. Yeah.
But to be honest, we put Nav's car on to kind of give the crowd a show. Like, I done, how many pulls did I do? Eight pulls,
yeah.
I done eight pulls at over 1,500 horsepower, and then I two-stepped it. So if that doesn't show you how reliable these things are, like, if you're not confident in your setup, you're not doing that in front of a big crowd at GDR Festival.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that's a very easy way to ruin your brand, ruin your reputation. But
Right. And what kind of gas? Or
there was no gas.
Fuel? There was no gas, no.
Ethanol. Yeah.
Sorry, our gas is different. When we say gas, we think nitrous.
I know, that's what I was like, wait, I'm sorry. Nitrous fuel. Wait, so gas is, nitrous. All right.
Yeah.
And so it was on ethanol.
On ethanol, E98.
Yeah. Okay. And then his car was on?
Methanol. Yeah.
So does that even count?
Look, it was a horsepower competition at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, bring what you got.
You can use whatever you want.
Everyone knows Anthony.
Jet fuel in the car.
Everyone knows Matuks. He's got some big cars, you know. So
he's one of the best in the RB game for sure. But yeah,
he's come out, put this car on there, it's made horsepower, that's it, you win.
Is there any other cars other shops that build cars like you guys that, you know, is a close competitor? Obviously, it seems like there's
at Roll Racing, I think there's a handful of cars. Obviously, you know, there's us, there's CRD, mm-hmm. they build some mad cars too. Matuks, they're very competitive too. Who else is there, Benny? Precision Racing, obviously, the Lambos, they're not doing these kind of cars. But
they do Lambos.
They're doing all the Lambos and R35s and that, which are pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Really consistent, very consistent, very fast. And I think they're probably the four big shops that always go to Roll Racing every month. And COTS.
It's cool because everyone builds their cars differently. Like, even you might like go, all right, well, B2R builds GDRs and Matuks build GDRs and CRD builds GDRs. But you'll look at a car in the pits with no stickers and you'll know who built it by the way it's done. Like,
so now CRD is obviously just drag racing, right?
I wouldn't say they're only drag racing, but they're majority drag racing and some roll racing,
right?
Whereas we're majority roll racing and some drag racing,
right?
And I would say Matuk is similar to CRD, with their majority drag racing and some roll racing.
They've been around for ages, right? So were some of their bills cars that you looked up to, or did you get any inspiration from them? Because you guys are pretty close to each other, so it's like...
Definitely. Like, they're... at the end of the day, everyone's running same blocks, same striker kits and all that.
It all comes down to turbo.
Yeah. All comes down to turbo.
But yeah, back in the days when you would see something like Nader's car, King 32, run a 6, whatever it ran, you'd just be like, holy shit, that's gangster. Or you'd have Jun come to the start line and everyone would run over because you wanted to see, like, you know, what they'll do. You know, obviously... that's what makes you want to build these cars and get faster.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like we took a little bit different approach where, like I said, I'm very nerdy. I want a cool dash in the car.
Yeah.
You know, neons on the car, light show, you know, Hot Wheels. So yeah, everyone's got their own style, like I said. But
I noticed that.
We definitely...
own style, own setup.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's good at what they do at the end of the day.
Roll racing seems to be the I don't want to say the most competitive, but the most exciting thing to watch.
Exciting,
right. So you guys have a lot of cars that are built for that, technically.
Yeah,
for the most part. And you have Romanos. Obviously, you guys built his car.
Yeah,
and he is pretty much one like the fastest 34 when it comes to roll racing?
34, I would say so, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Out of cars that actually do go roll racing, I would say he's the fastest 34.
So yeah. What are some of the records that you guys have? Do you have any records or anything that...
I think right now it's just really Marlon's car with that manual 33 record.
Yeah.
Romanos had the manual 34 record for a while. And then War GDR took it, and then Romanos took it, and then War GDR took it, and then I can't remember if Romanos took it again or not, but like they're just constantly back going and back and forward.
Back and forth. So now I think they went 740s now.
Yeah.
Which is fast. Fucking fast.
Very fast. So
we need to go back to the drawing board, a bit more boost, change a couple of little things, and then yeah, we'll be back out there. A
little bit of methanol.
Yeah.
A little bit of bigger turbo.
Well, what transmission is on War?
I don't know what transmission it is, but it's got some kind of a slipper clutch in it.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. Do you know what gearbox is in that car?
No, I'm not sure. It's whatever they got clutch. In that car, it's fucking working.
Samsonas.
Yeah.
Air shifted Samsonas, and they've got some slipper clutch on there.
So you guys don't believe in slipper clutches? No.
Look, I'd love to use one, but try telling Romanos that. He's like,
I wouldn't put one in the car.
He believes it's all driver, which is right too, you know. Yeah. So, and he can drive too. So if I tell him to put one in there and first thing is, I won't even finish slipper clutch, he'll just be, no, don't even say that word again. Because it's me, it's my foot, it's my skill, I'm going to drive the car.
You know, and it's a lot more rewarding, I feel like, for Romanos at least. If he breaks that record again, to say that he done everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's very rewarding. Don't get me wrong, I put an air shift in Navi's car. I think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, what's more impressive? Obviously, shifting the car yourself, riding the car yourself, getting it out the hole by slipping the clutch, that's more impressive.
Look, on the weekend, I was just rolling along, put my foot down, and just air shift, bang, through for 6 gears.
It is, no it's skill. Nice. It is pretty it's cool. Mad. I did go for a ride in the...
Yeah, I put you in 34H.
Yeah. Actually, this car. This one, yeah. It was pretty badass in the street. It was kind of wet outside, but it was cool.
Rips up nice.
Yeah.
Lifts the front wheels nicely.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get that experience, but it was definitely a dope setup.
Yeah.
So do you guys have any experience with 2Js?
Yeah. Like I told you, the first car I learned to wire on was Musti's 2J, and I think that made 1,300 horsepower.
Mm. Okay.
But we've done a S14 2J as well, Aki's one.
Yeah, that.
We've done a few of them over the years. But for us, like in Australia, there's not many people that build 2Js or Supras like that, because everyone wants to be competitive these days. They want to go racing, you know, so
having Supra we built was pretty cool as well.
Yeah. Like what I mean is like street cars, like on the street, you can take 1,000 horsepower GDR, 1,000 horsepower Supra. Who's going to win? The GDR's going to win all-wheel drive, right? So that's why a lot of people go towards the GDRs, but so.
This is going to be your clickbait section. GDR versus 2J, RB.
No. I would ask you like 2J or RB. I've gotten the answer a million times.
They're both
ways.
Gangster.
Yeah,
they're both.
I've gotten the answer a million different ways, but I asked the question based off experiences. Yeah. Like if you have worked with it, if not, and then why you don't build them anymore? You know,
like Navi said, it's more so the customer wanting traction. You know what I mean? 2J is mad for the drag strip. You know, you'll pump everything, but a lot of these guys do drive on the street and they give it big hits on the street. So
with the RB,
yeah, because you can like you're confident. You got all four wheels gripping up.
There are they are doing some all-wheel drive stuff in the States.
With the Supers?
Yeah.
That's gangster.
They are. There's somebody that I know who's building one right now. That's sick. It'll be ready for FL2. It'll probably be FL2K if you go.
That's sick.
He's putting it in, I think it's an S14.
Yeah, nice.
I believe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's working on that. And there is somebody else with it's actually a R32 with a...
The green one.
2J. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's all-wheel drive. Yeah. I'm not sure what he did. He didn't really discuss what he did. Yeah.
But I've been following that car for a while, and White Rice is pretty cool as well. Rear-wheel drive, that thing boogies.
Yeah, that thing is no joke. Actually, CRD actually called them out.
Oh, did they? Wow.
Yeah. Well, with June 3. Yeah. I'm sorry, not June 3. The VL.
Oh, the VL.
Yeah, okay. Which is a sick car.
Yeah.
So what projects do you guys have coming up? Any big builds or anything that
we have got another, I think, 8 34s we've got to build.
Eight?
8 34s that are in the build.
Lined up
waiting to do.
For us to have time.
So there's still that, and then there's a lot of people inquiring about builds and all that kind of stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, there's only so much we can do. I don't want to say we can start your car this date, finish it by this, because we'll just be lying, you know, and we don't want that. So we do have 8 cars, you know, we've got about 6 pillar blocks sitting in the engine room, half assembled, bottom ends are all assembled. And yeah, just one by one, we'll get them done. They do take time. Everything takes time.
Eight, though? How are you going to get through eight, bro?
I think we've already done six. We've got a good team.
6 months.
We've got a good team.
Oh, this year already?
Yeah.
Sheesh. So you guys, the road racing scene is bigger here. Is it mostly because of the street racing, the lack of street racing that you can do?
Here it's a lot of cars used to street race, a lot. But yeah, over the years, people crashing, dying, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the cops are, you know, the police here are very, very strict. So they'll see you, they'll get you. You know, you're street racing, they'll take your car.
Look, they got a reason basically to be as well. You know? We're lucky enough that we have the events that you don't need to do it on a street. So why would you?
Right.
So now for people is like, you know, they can enjoy the car on the street, cruise around.
That's what
I mean. No one goes street racing anymore.
Like,
you know, once a month, twice a month, they'll go to the actual track where it's safe. You know, they can give it all the power they want and enjoy their car.
This is what I mean. Like having two events, it's an advantage for people that actually want to enjoy their car.
Right.
Why would you go race your mate on the street when you can be like, hey man, I'll see you next Wednesday. You're dead in front of everyone. You know, no one wants to be, I don't want to beat you, just me and you. I want to beat you in front of everyone.
Right.
And that's why roll racing here's kicked off.
So you see a lot more street cars at roll racing than
100%,
drag racing.
100%. Yeah. You'll drive Sydney streets all night. You'll be lucky to find someone that wants to race here. But roll racing comes around
these days,
and
especially.
Everyone's there.
Maybe about 5-6 years ago, it was different.
Yeah. I think it's sad because you see stuff like One Stock and, you know, what happened to him. And that could have been avoided, you know. Like if he was on a drag, not a drag strip, if he was on some kind of track, there would have been emergency personnel. There would have been, you know, fire crews. There could have been an ambulance there. Like he might not have passed. Unfortunately, it is what it is. You do it on the street, you take that risk.
Right.
And you're not always going out by yourself. You could take out an innocent family.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, the same way that he crashed on the track the first time is the same way he crashed the second time.
Yeah.
Technically the same.
And it's sad, man.
It is. But that's why it's important, like, for us to have the tracks in the States.
Yeah.
But that's why I think it's cool that you guys have the World Racing. You have a bunch of events and it looks exciting. You got people like my boy Sam over here narrating some of the videos.
Famous guy.
So it's definitely fun to watch. I actually I watch a lot of this stuff. Do you guys have a YouTube or you guys just end up on Romanos' channel?
We've talked about opening one a few times, like making an account, but with how busy we are, we're like, all right, let's get the cameras out and then
no one does it.
Damn it. All right, let's get to work.
I mean, you got eight cars, that's a lot of content, man.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. I look at it as like if you have projects going, you can you can film it, but not everything
happens
in one shot.
Obviously the time as well,
sure.
And then we've got Romanos, he's part of us as well, so you know, and then
team, whether it's his channel or our channel,
it's the same thing.
Same thing.
So you guys have a dyno room here too.
Yep.
Right. So you guys obviously tune in house a lot of the videos that were viral too. Like I'm sure we're done here. So when it comes to tuning with RBs, where do you guys live at with the timing?
Main thing is the fuel you're running, obviously, because that's going to determine whether you're knock limited or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then second thing is the turbo, because when you run a big turbo and you don't have much back pressure, you can get pretty aggressive with the timing because, you know, you're not got all the back pressure. You've got good exhaust scavenging. You're not creating a whole bunch of heat.
Mm-hmm.
With the smaller turbo stuff, you've got to be careful as they're ramping on. You can feed the timing in as they come on boost, but as they're ramping on, you can't just throw everything at it.
Right.
I think this is what a lot of people don't understand. People go, oh, it's a strong engine. These guys are making 2,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
I'm going to go throw all this timing at it to make 1,000. They're like, oh, why'd my block crack? You know, you've still got to be reasonable with how you apply the boost, apply the torque, that kind of stuff. But yeah, they take timing.
Do you guys run like back pressure sensors? Is that how it works? How do you guys know how much?
Normally when we do a new setup, we do all the shit on that one car, like all the sensors, all the data, whatever on one car. And that kind of gives us a baseline to know, hey, if someone wants to do this, then that's roughly where they're going to be at. If we're trying something we've never done before, then obviously, you know, we'll get all the sensors on it. But at a minimum, all of them have, you know, EGTs and just a whole bunch of sensors. But not every car has EMAP. That's the one sensor I would say probably not every car has.
Okay.
But like
because we know that setup is same as that setup, is the same as my car.
If I've done
we've got 10 cars, they're all pretty much all the same engine.
Yeah. Right.
Just different turbo sizes.
If we've done 600, 86, 85s, I don't need to log the back pressure on this one.
Right.
Like we've already got it.
We know where they tap out.
Oh, yeah, stuff that varies from car to car, like EGTs, obviously inlet air temp, you know, all the important shit that's every car's got it.
Do you feel like EGTs are a necessity for a lot of these builds?
Depends on the power.
Okay.
Over 1400, yes.
Why?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on the injectors you use as well, right? Because you can make 1,000 horsepower with shit injectors and you're going to melt your shit. So with the injectors we use, we only use injector dynamic stuff. Okay. Shout out to Paul Yaw and Tony Parlow. They make some badass stuff.
Right.
And I know that they break their injectors in before we even get them.
Right.
They flow match them to a set. So if we order six, there's six that are within 1-2%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to swell over time. The pintle's not going to wear in because they've already done that at their factory.
Right.
So with that kind of stuff, we're confident, you know, you can push them a bit more and you can have even air fuel mixtures across the chart. Obviously, then you've got manifold design. So if you go try an inlet plenum that no one's done before, then definitely have EGTs. If you go to, you know, what everyone's got on their car, which is Plasma Man or Hypertune, then you know you're going to be pretty much sweet. You know, everyone's running it. Otherwise, everyone would be blowing up their shit. Same thing with the turbo manifold. You know, you got a 6-boost ProMod V-band manifold or T4, then you know you're going to be sweet.
Right.
But yeah, anything where you know you're going to be pushing or it's a big investment, like what's a set of EGTs really? $800, $900? Just put them on.
It's just additional wiring or whatever.
Just put them on and... You know, it's got its own advantages as well. Like you could be at the track and go, shit, I had a misfire. And rather than sit there and go, you know, was it injectors? Was it coils? Was it this cylinder? Was it that cylinder? At least it'll narrow down the cylinder.
Right.
So then instead of having 18 things to look at, you're like, well, it's this cylinder. Change that injector, that coil, that spark plug. It's gone. It was one of them. And that's right. If you want to be quick.
Yeah.
If you not at a track day, you can do it one by one and go, okay, that's a bad part and get rid of it.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Okay, very valid. So when it comes to torque, right? So I was speaking to CRD about this earlier, that Nitto came out with a wide journal. Yep. Do you guys use Nitto? Right. So
we've got a lot of engines.
You use the wide journal kits?
Yeah, now we do.
Okay. So how is it when you're tuning in for like with boost? Are you ramping it in sooner with that or are you bringing it later?
With the bigger turbo stuff, I'm bringing it in as hard as possible, as fast as possible.
Really?
Yeah, it'll take it.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll take
interesting.
It. Yeah, and that's probably why when you jumped in this thing, you were like, "What the fuck was that?"
Which one,
Mr. 33?
Yeah, dude.
Because it comes in hard. It's not like a, oh, we'll slowly bring in the power, slowly bring in the boost. We know it's gonna live. Give it everything. Let it eat.
So you're not worried about the bearings or anything like that, no.
Like after every event, we're obviously checking out wheels, filters, stuff like that, you know. And at the end of the day, if we do see something in there, then we're not going to just keep, oh, just send it, you know, it's coming out no matter what. But we haven't got to that stage yet, you know.
So all the builds, you pretty much do the same way or it depends on the turbo size?
I'd say most of our builds now have the bigger turbos on them. Like our builds don't start with anything under 80. If you've got a 76 mil turbo in this shop, it's rare.
Yeah.
So
what you mean, bro? Like you can't. What's wrong with a 76?
No, I'm just saying.
No, what's wrong with a 76 though? It's not fast I know you guys are laughing at me, bro. It's all right.
Nah.
You know, I can still do something with it. 76
is gangster. But I mean, like, we're kind of at the point where I don't have to worry about any of them.
Right.
As quick as we can make the boost. As quick as we can bring the power.
Yeah.
As long as we're not traction limited and we do stuff in the ECU like boost by gear and whatnot to control it and give it, like, actually let it have traction, then.
Right.
Bring it in as hard as we can.
How is and you guys use, so I forgot about this, you guys use Link for all this stuff. You're not using Motec, you're not using Haltech.
Yeah.
Why Link? For especially for RBs and how much power you're making with them.
It's a very loaded question because every ECU can do the same thing.
Right, right.
Okay, I'll take that back. Every ECU can mainly do the same thing.
Right.
But there's a lot of stuff that we do that's different. Like we're running a Motec dash. We're running an ECU Master PDM because they are hands down the best PDM on the market. We're running the ID fuel pump controller, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things want to get controlled a different way or speak a different way. Or, you know, they're not all interchangeable on a normal setup. And, you know, Motecs are very locked down with what you can do with CAN. So is Haltech. But it's a blessing and a curse because someone that wants to get the Haltech or the Motec catalog, plug everything in and everything works and everything talks.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like us that's running a whole bunch of what we think is the best of that unit, they don't all speak the same language. They don't all communicate. So with the Link, we can write custom CAN stuff, which I do a lot of. Some cars I've got two PDMs in and I've got the Link sending out data to one PDM in one format and data to another PDM in another format. The fuel pump controllers give us data through CAN, and I need to write a custom CAN stream. So okay. I can see fuel pump speed, I can see fuel pump load, I can see fuel pump current draw. Mm-hmm. And then we got stuff happening with the Motec dash as well, which hands down best dash on the market. So it's just kind of making everything work together. And in terms of the actual tuning side of Link, man, they're very, like, I know a lot of people don't know how capable Link is because they've never used it, or they look at the software and go, this is way too confusing. But you can make it as easy or as hard as you want it to be to tune mm-hmm. a car with a Link. But yeah, we can do some pretty cool shit with that. Like, some of the stuff we do in there, people would not believe.
Usually, I think everybody in the States, especially with an RB, is running a Haltech.
Yeah.
So when you guys said that, I was like, wait, what? There's no way you guys...
yeah.
Not saying it's a bad thing to run it, yeah. but there's got to be something that, especially at this power, that you guys are doing that
yeah.
most people don't know about.
I guess at the end of the day, it comes down to the tuner as well. You know, what they're yeah. used to using. You know, like, we can tune whatever you want.
Yeah, right. Haltech, Motec,
whatever
well.
You want.
And they're a mad ECU, and I love them. And... you know, sometimes I'll be on the phone to Link and I'll be like, man, Haltech has this feature. I wish you guys had it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll be using a Haltech and I'm like, man, you know, Link has this feature and I wish you had it. And sometimes I'm using a Motec and I'm like, why don't you have anything that either of these two have?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they all got their ups, they've all got their downs. It's what you're trying to do with the car and what your tuner's comfortable with. Power is power. It doesn't matter what ECU you run.
True, that's true too.
Put it this way, RHM's got a plug and play
yeah,
that's Link still, GDR ECU.
That's not even a custom.
Still using a factory harness.
That's a factory Nissan R34
really?
GTR harness.
Yeah.
Like, I've obviously wired all the extras. I've put in the protections, the EGTs, the turbo speeds, the extra set of injectors. It's actually only got eight injector drives and we're running 12 injectors off it.
Mm.
So oh, wow. that's what I mean. Like, there's stuff in there that we can do that most and people wouldn't.
34 H's is yeah, similar.
That's a plug and play ECU, the yeah. one that you jumped in. Marlins, we do have a Voodoo in, which is a wiring Link.
Okay.
They're a lot newer as well. So
yeah. So the newer stuff, we're kind of at the point where we go, okay, now we need dedicated 12 injector drives and, you know, there's a few extra things that we want.
Right.
But yeah, man, like, power's power. Give it the fuel, give it the timing, give it the boost, it's going to make power. I don't care if you're on a Motec or a Carby. It's just how much control do you have? That's what the ECU gives you.
Right, right. Yeah. You guys actually surprised me, like I said.
Yeah.
This shop was like the first and only memory I'm going to have because I yeah, hung wow. out with you guys. I
appreciate it, man.
They yeah. definitely took care of me when I was out here. I was like lonely, you know yeah. what I'm saying?
Made depressed, you try your first
crying crying in my hotel room and then Ben texted me. He's yeah. like, yo, man, you're not doing nothing. Pull up to the shop.
Yeah.
So I pulled up, jet lagged. And then my boy Sam took care of me this weekend too.
So I think that blue V woke you up a bit, huh?
Yeah, they try to get me on this V.
What
I don't
the hell
know
is this shit?
This V shit is, I don't know.
We got to start importing. Someone's
sipping on it all night.
But yeah, nah, I do appreciate you guys for taking care of, you know, the hospitality and everything.
How is it?
You too, my boy. So yeah, I just want to thank you guys for taking the time to do this.
Appreciate it, man. Likewise, you know,
and the hospitality for
it's
everything.
A pleasure having true. You here as well.
Yeah, I'm
we watch a lot of your videos shop. Online as well. So
what's up?
We watch a lot of your videos and stuff online.
I appreciate so,
you
know, it.
Having you here is.
I actually didn't think. Not gonna lie, I didn't think anybody knew who I was here.
No.
Not even saying like that, but like, I didn't think that you guys watch like YouTube stuff because you guys are like big shops. So I'm like, these guys don't have time to watch it.
Nah, we watch it. When we're driving home at 2 a.m. tired as I'm like, oh, let me see what other issues people around the world are having. Make me feel a bit better about my life
yeah.
if I see someone else complaining.
Well, you probably won't see too much RB shit happening.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to watch, like, because you're already ahead
of
the
game. I don't watch anything RB. I could not care less.
For us, what we like is watching all the 35s over there,
yeah.
the Lambos, the twin turbo
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
You know? And I guess over there is different. Everyone wants to watch...
yeah,
you know, Skyline stuff.
Yeah.
I heard in GDR Festival there was man. All Lambos and, you know, R35s. But yeah. when they seen an R32, a 3 or a 4, you know, the whole crowd was going towards them. Right. So
Romanos had said that it's he'd rather drive a GTR than a Lambo. Do you agree with that?
Look, on the street, Lambo, racing, GDR. That's me.
And how much power is it making?
1300.
And 1300 to like 18 or 2000, there is a difference in the Lambo or because
look, the Lambo's a lot smoother.
Okay.
Obviously, power comes on 10 times quicker. On the street, untouchable. That Lambo, you cannot touch that Lambo on the street.
His car leaves lines down the yeah. highway. Like,
what?
It is fast.
It's gangster.
That's a car that I probably will never get in then.
It's gangster.
I'm not getting in that.
Hey, look, after look this, I'm here, happy boy. To take it to my house. We can go grab it.
Yeah. I remember
this guy, Sam's like, nah, we're going to get you in there, bro.
I remember the first hit in his car. I go, no, that's not
if you want to go, Sam, go get it. Go pick it up.
Yeah. Nah, that's
but,
cool, though.
Racing-wise, I feel GDR. a lot better. A lot better. Obviously, they're making a lot more power.
Mm.
But in the same thing, like, you know, these kind of cars, like when they start to come out, they're somewhat straight. Like they're going straight, but they're coming out too. Right. The Lambos and that, they're a bit sketchy. Like they deliver the power. They'll make the power. Yeah, because once they come out, like, you've obviously seen how many cars, you know, lose control there and crash.
I feel like you wouldn't feel them come out as much from how low they are. So it might be like throwing the rear around you and you wouldn't really notice because you're like on the floor. Whereas a GDR, like you're up and if it starts spinning, your whole view changes. Whereas a Lambo, you're like looking at the floor in front of you.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. It would be harder to know when you're spinning and when you're about to lose it as opposed to a car that you're sitting higher and you've got like, you know, more... You kind of got more weight too, so you can feel if the back end comes out.
Right.
The Lambo's got the engine right behind you. You've got this screaming V10 in your ear and these turbos making all the noises.
Sounds nice though. It is a pretty cool sound.
They do sound mad.
They sound awesome.
What shops build Lambos out here? Like,
there's only one shop, but then Precision.
That's what you said. So they're the guys that... So if you have a Lambo, you go to them?
Yeah, definitely.
And they'll build it for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
So the guys fast cars. So those guys, you guys have Lambos that you get built by, and then you also roll race against them at roll racing with a GTR.
No, so we built Navi's Lambo.
You built it.
Yeah, we built it. Yeah.
I thought you took it there.
No. We built Navi's Lambo.
I'll never pay someone to build my own car.
Yeah.
Even if I don't know what I'm doing, I'll make it work.
Yeah.
Me and Benny will make anything work.
We built Navi's car from scratch.
Okay.
Yeah. Not one thing on that car is a kit. Not one thing on that car is like, you know, we got it from this guy or whatever. We got Hypertune to do the fab work for us. Insane fab work. We got them to make us the custom coolers. We got TurboSmart on board to use their TurboSmarts and wastegates and blow-off valves. We use the same pretty much electronics that we put on these things in terms of sensors and whatnot. And we obviously got the Motex because that's what there is for the Huracan. And yeah, I remember mucking around with it. And the first time I got it started, man, I was like, this is gangster. Like, it's cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds very insane. Good.
And you had it on this dyno?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had it on this dyno, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool until I had to change spark plugs. Then it wasn't
That's so a project bad. On those?
Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't too bad. Like,
for the first time doing it,
yeah.
It was hard. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. But I think once you do 2, 3, 4, right. You know, it becomes easier and easier.
It wasn't even hard. You're just scared. You're like, this is a $700,000-$800,000 car. I've got to be careful. But like, I surprised myself working on his car. I remember we bought the clutch kit and I've never worked on a Lambo, let alone done a clutch on a Lambo, and took the rear bar off, took the lower plates off, the skid plates and stuff. And I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, fuck, this is the what am I in for? Like, am I over my head? I'm like, fuck it. I'll do what I do on every car. I'll start unbolting shit and I'll see where I end up. And I think, 4 hours?
Yeah.
He walked downstairs and he's seen the box out of this car and he's like, there is no way. Yeah. And then, you know, I spoke to the boys at Dodson. I'm like, hey, you know, can you guys give me a few tips? And I think I spoke to Dan at Dodson. He goes, yeah, man, it's easy as. Do this, do this, do that. I had the gearbox back in the car the same day.
Dodson?
Dodson. Yeah.
Okay.
Dan and Greg, I speak to up there. They're awesome blokes, but they're not hard to work on. They're intimidating.
Yeah, like, I've been intimidated too, yeah.
Yeah. When I was doing his spark plugs, I'm like, oh, this is going to take forever. An hour later, all 10 were done. I'm like, okay, not that bad. The fuel pump, when I opened up like inside that fuel tank, I'm like, holy shit, there's so much lines and, you know.
The fuck's going on here?
Yeah, what's going
there's
on here?
There's a lot more to learn.
Yeah, and then I'm like, all right, let's start. And a couple of hours later, it was done. So there was nothing really on that car that I'd done. I'm like, okay, I'm stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you guys, now you guys are going to open up a Lambo shop too, right? I'm assuming.
Look, the goal is in the future to start doing more.
That's the next platform for you guys.
That's the next platform, yeah.
We do have.
We're not going to stop on the GDRs. We're still going to keep doing GDRs. Right. But yeah, we will start.
I think in the new shop, like we've got a few customers now that have R8s, Huracan, stuff like that. But most of our customers that do have them also have a GDR and they want to build both. So we're like, okay, let's just do the GDR for now so we can move into the new shop, you know, get a bit more crew on, get, you know, stuff happening. And then, yeah, we're going to get into them. And funny, you were saying before how, like, you guys love our shit and we love your stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I'm frothing the G80s. I G80s? Want one so bad, yeah. And everyone I spoke to in America, they're like, man, they're nothing. We don't care about it. But me, I'm in love with them.
For the price, you can get a B58.
Yeah.
And
what are they worth over there? Faster. Like, what's an M3 comp X-Drive?
A brand new one?
Or say like
secondhand market.
I think they're going for like, you can get them for like, I would say 80 or 90.
Yeah, well, that's a lot more expensive than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's if you get a, yeah, probably 80 or 90.
Yeah.
Not a brand new one though.
Yeah.
But yeah, 80.
That's very, like, it's decent price for what you're getting.
Unless they dropped, because I know last time I was checking for rear wheel drive ones, yeah, they were going for like 60.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that was like last year. Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. So maybe it could be 70, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want a clean one in good condition, yeah, that's not beat the fuck up.
I want to get one and build one. I think that's going to be cool.
A G80?
That's probably going to be my next car.
You guys, I saw one at GTR. I saw one at GTR Festival, I think.
That would have been Chris Skinner's car.
Okay.
So the wagon?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that thing's gangster. So that's
Badass.
M3 Touring, mm-hmm, and it makes 1400, I believe. They haven't put the power down. You know, they're still
working on
traction and when they can feed the power in and stuff
I
like that.
I think he came out one time raw racing and
ended up in the
top fours, I mean. Top six.
He was beating some fast V10s and some fast GDRs.
Like, oh, shit.
That's when I was like, all right, this is cool.
Yeah, so yeah, that might catch up then.
Yeah,
100%. Might be a thing in the next... It's so weird how it's like you come over here to Australia and it's like you guys are just catching on to that.
Yeah.
But then it's like you're ahead in other things.
Yeah, because people don't really touch Euro cars here. It's that same thing as the Lambo. People are like, it's too expensive. Why am I going to bother? I'll go get a, you know, old Jap car and do that up, but...
Yeah, but nowadays they don't realize that buying these old Jap cars, one, is expensive, and building is expensive as well.
Right, right.
You know, so, and you're probably, they probably owe you the same money at the end of the day buying a Lambo and twin turboing a Lambo or an R8.
It's what you prefer. Like, it's what body shape you prefer. And the reason I like the G80 is it's like to me, it's a 32 GDR with a BMW shell. Inline 6, 3-liter, twin turbo, four-wheel drive.
Yeah, yeah.
That's similar. What I know.
Yeah.
Give me a good sound system and a nice interior, and that's a G80.
I mean, they don't sound the same. They don't sound...
No, the engine doesn't, but...
I don't like the way it sounds, but... Yeah.
You'll like it when I've got my exhaust out the bonnet.
Yeah, nah. This is great, man. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I can come back next year. So hopefully I'll come back to Australia for DTR Festival again. And hopefully you guys make it out to FL2K. I'm not sure if both of you are going or...
Yeah,
we're both of us.
We'll be going.
Me, him, Av, and Romanos will be going for sure.
Ooh. And hopefully GDR Festival and hopefully PRI. That's my PRI, dream event.
You guys should really go there.
That's my dream event. Like, I want to go to PRI.
You need to pull up too, bro. Don't worry. Trust me.
He'll tag along.
They turn up.
Throw him in the suitcase.
No, PRI on luggage. Is a business party.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you right now. Yeah. I thought SEMA was where, like, you party and stuff.
I'm not interested in SEMA.
PRI? No, I'm telling you, like, it's because it's in Vegas. Mm. But PRI is like different, man. I was like, damn, this is like a business party, basically.
Yeah, well.
Like, obviously during the day, you know, you're obviously networking. It is great for networking.
Yeah, I just want to nerd out. I want to see all the
latest shit. No, 100%. You can do that. But then after when they close down, it's like a party.
Yeah,
like,
well.
Not like a crazy party, but you just bar shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Meet people.
Yeah.
You know, talk about projects.
It's a vibe. All right, so if you could let the viewers and listeners know where to find you, social media, website, you know, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is.
TikTok, B2R Motorsport, Instagram, B2R Motorsport, Facebook, B2R Motorsport, just anything B2R Motorsport.
B2R Motorsport.
Yeah.
And then if they want to reach out to you to ask some questions, I'm sure there's going to be people who want to like ask you some questions following up to maybe.
They can ask on either Instagram, email, on the website as well.
Yeah.
You guys are responsive on Instagram?
Yeah. So Av runs the Instagram. So if you guys want to get in contact with him, that's B2R. Navi's got his personal Instagram, which is Navi Chima. If you guys have any more technical questions or they can reach out to me, Ben Mina. Either one works. Either avenue.
All right, cool. Well, like I said, man, appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure having you.
And I'll be back next year. I'm sure I'll see you guys pretty soon. And then just be on the lookout for that B2R build that we're going to be doing. Not in the Supra, maybe something else. Maybe the S15.
Maybe we chuck an RB and a G80.
Nah, hell no. No, not that chassis. Yeah. It'd definitely be an S15 or some shit. I'll figure it out.
Done.
But if you guys are watching the premiere right now, make sure you guys hit that like button. If you're listening, continue to listen. And also make sure you guys head over to streetalpha.co to copy yourself some merch. I got to get you guys some jumpers, which is what they call it. They have
hoodies,
which we call hoodies. So you guys
call both. Jumpers, hoodies.
So I got to get you guys some of those. I'll send you guys some hoodies.
Appreciate it. Whatever
one you guys want.
Done.
You too, my boy. If you guys are interested in purchasing some merch, streetalpha.co. And until next time, guys, I will catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.